All right, all right. It's time for the Ken Smuckler Report from Philadelphia. Ken Smuckler, right, good morning. Right. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom, Sybil, Hoche, Antoine. Bernie goes bust, the revenge of Pocahontas, and a Bubba Harlequin romance. This is your Smuck Report, Philly cheesesteak style. Really, the drama started 24 hours before the convention when DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz is drummed out of the party and for what, Tom? Calling the Sanders campaign manager, one Jeff Weaver, what I could best tell was a smucking ass. And really, I just don't get it. Bernie's campaign manager is a guy who had no problem telling tens of thousands of clueless millennials that Bernie could go to the convention and win, only to have Bernie tell them on day one of the convention he could not. And the DNC has a problem calling this guy a smucking ass? Hey, Jay, this cat left politics in 2009 to do what exactly? Oh, yeah. Open a gaming and comic store, which means that a year ago, before his return with the burn, Tom, the only audience this guy had was a bunch of pimple-faced geeks at the takeout counter, and the only subject he could address with any degree of authority was whether Thor's hammer was really more lethal than Captain America's shield when the Avengers faced Baron Zemo in the Masters of Evil. I mean, really, And one more thing about the Berners. Saying Bernie lost to Hillary because the system was rigged is like saying that the number two is less than the number one because math is rigged. Hillary beat Bernie in pledged delegates without one superdelegate coming into play. Debbie Wasserman Schultz calling the guy who couldn't figure this out 24 hours after Super Tuesday a smucking ass, she should have been applauded rather than condemned. On to day one, or as we've called it, the big oy vey. It started with two Jewish comedians, Al Franken and Sarah Silverman. Hey, Jay, the last time two Jews produced something so uncomfortable on stage was Mel Brooks, the producer, when Max Bialystock and Leo Bloom produced the hit song Springtime for Hitler in Germany. And then came the moment in which Sarah Silverman, in a room full of Bernie or Busters going nuts in the last minutes before they became just Busters, decides to call them ridiculous. Sarah Bubula, what's ridiculous is spitting in the face of the Berners on the night you were supposed to be giving them the big sloppy wet one. And then it turns out that the reason Silverman went off script is that there was no script, as she was just killing time for Paul Simon, who wasn't ready to perform. And I mean, Paul Simon wasn't ready to perform. Tom, did you see Ryman Simon sing Bridge Over Troubled Waters? Really, the performance, he did the unthinkable. He actually provided a creepier senior moment than Clint Eastwood talking to an empty chair at the Republican National Convention 4 years ago. And day one ended with the 1-2 punch of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, but both, in my view, underwhelmed. Senator Elizabeth Warren, the grand dame of Democratic defiance, gave a full-throated populist attack on all things Trump. But I really think, on balance, Senator Forked Tongue is always going to lose as many voters for Hillary as she gains. But Donald Trump, of course, misses his opportunity on Warren, calling her Pocahontas. Too stupid to realize that the legend of Pocahontas speaks to tolerance for immigrants who come onto your land. It tells us that Pocahontas saved the life of John Smith, an immigrant colonist who came onto her land and threatened her people's way of life when her father, Chief Powhatan, was about to dispatch him to the Great Spirit in the sky. Talk about not being on the Make America Hate Again theme song. And as for Bernie, he was good. But God, it's the same speech he gave at the pancake flip at the Iowa State Fair weeks before the Iowa caucus. And that was 9 months ago. And when he got to the average $27 contribution to his campaign, a line he's used in every smucking speech. I swear, Jay, I got up off the Barca Lounger, threw $27 at the Trinitron, and yelled, "Take that, Bernie, and go buy a one-way bus trip from Philadelphia to Burlington." But day one was saved by the one person who, in one speech on the national stage, did what Barack Obama did when he launched his career at the Democratic National Convention in 2004. Showed America what smart and black looks like. But she did it in a stunning Christian Siriano blue dress and metallic Jimmy Choo pumps. I'm talking about Michelle Obama, who in one line, that of a black mother raising two black daughters in a house built by slaves, showed the nation the true greatness and potential of America. In short, she delivered the singular moment of the convention, not just of day one, of the entire 4 days, period. On to day two. Negro Night at the DNC. It started with the first black attorney general, then went to the moms of Black Lives Matter, concluded with Bill Clinton, the man Toni Morrison labeled the first black president, and in between, Sybil, who shows up? The first white president to cheat on his first lady for a black woman. That's right, Sybil. None other than O Pope's heartthrob himself, President Fitzgerald Grant III, who took to the Wells Fargo stage, and for what reason, Sybil? I really have no smucking idea. All this followed by Andrea Day killing Rise Up, and I thought I was binge-watching Shonda Rhimes, one strong black man and woman on stage after another. Then the big dog took to the stage in a speech that began like a Harlequin romance, opening up his speech with this line. In the spring of 1971, I met a girl. She had thick blonde hair, big glasses, wore no makeup, and she exuded the sense of strength and self-possession that I found magnetic. Which, coming from Bubba, was as creepy as watching an erectile dysfunction out at your daughter's Sweet 16 party. And really, Sybil, don't most Americans think that the Bubba love story begins more like this? In the spring of 1995, I met an intern. She had a simple blue dress, wore a thong underneath, and offered me a slice of her pizza in the Oval Office. But Tom, night two belonged to Alicia Keys, who didn't just bring down the house, she brought the house together. That's right, the kid from Hell's Kitchen, the daughter of an African-American father and Scottish-Irish-German mother, a woman whose single strand of DNA has more diversity in it than 4 days of the Republican convention. This woman showed America the true beauty of diversity, proving once again that a musician can bridge a divide like no politician. On to day three, and Humpty Trumpty gets knocked off his wall by middle-class Joe and billionaire Bloomberg. First, Joe Biden and the attack on Trump for having no clue about the middle class. And Tom, I think that's true. But really, is Joe Biden the guy to take to Donald Trump for not understanding the middle class? Sure, Biden says that folks in D.C. call him middle class Joe. But to that I say, name one. I mean, for the past 44 years, Joe Biden has been a member of the most exclusive country club in America, one with only 100 lockers in the clubhouse, the U.S. Senate. For the last 8 years, he's been living in a 9,000-square-foot mansion on a 13-acre estate with a full-time personal staff of 20. This guy, Tom, is as middle class as the Queen of Zamunda. Then came Michael Bloomberg, and finally, America saw the one person who can take Donald Trump down with authenticity. That's right, Michael Bloomberg, the Jewish son of a bookkeeper for a dairy company, a man who went on to become one of the richest cats on the planet. Bloomberg did what the Hillary machine and the Never Trumpets have tried and failed to do for the last 9 months, define Trump as a failure. And he did it in one line. I'm a New Yorker, and New Yorkers know a con man when they see one. And the finale, Barack Obama, and listening to him, man, really, guys, I just remember being with all of you at Ben's Chili Bowl in D.C. the day before swearing in.
Yeah.
Just think how far we've come.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking of that, really, that beautiful vision, then Trump comes into my head, a guy who earlier that day called on Vladimir Putin to release Hillary's emails. Hey, Donnie Dangerous, why don't you just ask the czar to send over one of his agents to slip Hillary a polonium 210 cocktail in her wine spritzer at the next fundraiser and be done with her? And Donald, what I just said was an example of sarcasm. What you said was an example of smack-assism. On to day four and the mother-daughter tag team of Chelsea and Hillary. First, Chelsea was poised and intelligent and spoke to Hillary the mother, who read her Goodnight Moon and went to all of Chelsea's soccer and softball games. And just when I'm starting to think there really is a mother trapped in that white pantsuit, Chelsea tells the story of her mother leaving notes to be opened every day that she was away from home. And in particular, notes about the idea she hoped to bring home from France to help educate the kids of Arkansas. Which might seem a little sweet, maybe, until you realize that Chelsea was born in 1980, and the trip she was referring to was 1983. Oh. Really, Chelsea? Your mom wrote a note to you when you were three about her trip to France, and it referenced the French educational system? Holy maternal instincts, Chelsea. That's not cute. That's troubling. And finally, to Hillary. Sybil, I love the line that spoke to when we shatter the glass ceiling, the sky is the limit. And I love when she put the Donald in his place for saying he knows more than our military generals and calling him a man you can't date with a tweet. But beyond that, it was really a chicken in every pot speech. Wall Street pays for kids' education. We pass constitutional amendment to get money out of politics, tax the rich to build roads and bridges. So we'll give Hillary's speech a Smuck Report 2 stars out of 4. For on a night that truly was a watershed moment for women, the woman that triggered this moment watered it down with politics. And let me say one last thing about day 4. The guy that brought the house down was a bigger-than-life preacher from North Carolina named Reverend William Barber, the son of a preacher and the head of the North Carolina NAACP, whose speech simply electrified the crowd in the Wells Fargo Center, a speech that should be required reading for Democrats, a speech that if it moves African Americans to the polls, particularly in the battleground state of North Carolina, will give Hillary Clinton Obama turnout numbers that may, in fact, give her the White House in November. The only man that I ever listened to was the son of a preacher man. And that's the Smuck Report. Look for Bernie to now disappear from the scene like Black China's pics from Rob Kardashian's Instagram. Look for Trump and Hillary to go at it like Golden Brooks and Countess Vaughn on Hollywood Divas Season 3, Episode 4, Bikinis and Backstabbing. Smuck off. Smuck out.